Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. This episode is about sustainability in sports. Did you know that athletic events across the United States generate more than 40 million pounds of trash each year? Each attendee of a sporting event produces about 2.4 pounds of waste in a single day. If athletic events are not planned with sustainability in mind, they can hurt the environment and worsen the climate crisis. I am the public address announcer for FC Davis, a semi-pro association football club founded in 2017 that plays in the NPSL and UPSL. As a sports broadcaster, I want to not only highlight sports stats, athletes, and events, but also do my part to make our planet more sustainable. So with this goal in mind, I did an internship with FC Davis last season and worked with its owner and founder, Adam Lewin, to find ways to help FC Davis get to zero waste home games. Adam has been a past guest on Time Out Radio on episodes 33 and 77 when we chatted about the latest on FC Davis. Zero waste is a term used to describe ways to conserve resources through recycling, reuse, and composting, with the goal of diverting at least 90% of waste from landfills and incinerators. We found that five effective ways are fan engagement, placing and monitoring waste bins, volunteer engagement, buy-in from vendors, and zero waste communication. The first one, fan engagement, is effective due to the magnitude of its possible impact. It has a ripple effect because thousands of people can be involved in sustainability efforts and change the culture of athletics. Some ways to do this are bringing the greenest fan down to the field, highlighting them on the scoreboard, or playing fanfare music whenever a fan is seen recycling. The goal of the second step of thoughtfully placing and monitoring bins is to make waste diversion easy at stadiums. Placing clearly marked and color-coded waste disposal bins that are labeled compost, recycle, or landfill, and displaying posters with educational messages in busy areas in stadiums help event attendees sort waste appropriately. I learned from Jennifer Gilbert, who is the City of Davis's conservation coordinator, and Lindsay Rodeville, who is the Waste Zero specialist at Recology, that collaborating with other community groups with resources and expertise is really key to getting the job done. Involving volunteers is a great way of getting to zero waste. You can create a green team. These are volunteers who wear green t-shirts on game day and walk through the venue to talk to fans about waste diversion. They work as bin guards and help fans discard waste in the correct bins, organize waste before it's hauled away, and collect unused food from concession stands to donate to local food banks and shelters. Working with vendors can be a win-win for event organizers and vendors. Vendors can switch to compostable plates and cutlery, use reusable cups instead of single-use plastics, and donate leftover food to food banks instead of disposing it in the trash or compost. In return, event organizers can recognize vendors' efforts in event materials and on game day. Finally, zero waste communication, which is where sports broadcasters come in, helps make sure that messages are concise and memorable and that sustainability efforts are continued even beyond game day. Having broadcasters convey zero waste messages is effective because they have an enthusiastic and engaged audience. This year, I created game day announcements and social media posts that included the evidence behind zero waste goals. Next year, we will use more digital media and signage in the stadium and around waste receptacles. So let us know if you have design skills that you would like to contribute. With at least 10 home games each season that bring in around 200 to 300 attendees and athletes each, FC Davis's sustainability work can divert more than 5,000 pounds of waste each season. Over the past few years, we have seen how the sports community has raised awareness and brought about social changes in areas such as racial justice and gender equity. Zero waste efforts in sports are a critical opportunity to use athletics to reduce the negative environmental impacts of human activity and make our world more sustainable for future generations. Our guest on today's episode of Time Out Radio is Jennifer Gilbert, who is the conservation coordinator for the City of Davis. She tells us about how event planners and each of us can do a better job at reducing what goes into the landfill at community events. Germany has one of the highest recycling rates in the world. It recycles about 67% of its waste, which is why it's our place of the week. Up next is My Best Self by Simmel and Elsa E. Elmar.
I just got a new tattoo, chaos in suburban shoes. I forgot what city life is like. A bit too old for cigarettes, don't believe in side effects, but smoking clothes will probably make you blind. I don't know who I am much beyond 22. All I know is I've got you. Help me love myself the way you love me, so who I am tomorrow is who I'm meant to be. If I could love myself the way you love me, I'd be bad and bold and beautiful and stronger than I think the way you love me.
Aprendí a portarme bien, verme cool y dar el 100. Nunca alzar mi voz cuando me ven.
Self was 98 when I bleached my tips and listened to Sublime. Maybe one day I'll relax, but I'm too busy to unpack. I'll just be here running out of time. Help me love myself.
You're listening to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. Our guest on today's episode is Jennifer Gilbert. We met on Time Out Radio about a year ago on our episode about composting. You can check that out at episode 49. So, Jennifer, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So, first off, you're the conservation coordinator for the City of Davis. Tell us a little bit about what that job involves.
Sure. So a conservation coordinator is responsible for outreach, education, program development for different environmental programs. So we have two conservation coordinators, one that focuses on water conservation, and then myself, which focuses on solid waste and recycling. But we also cover all of the environmental outreach for our entire department as well.
Yeah, and I contacted you a few months ago when I started working on a project with FC Davis, which is the semi-pro soccer team based in Davis, to help make our home games zero waste. And you gave me a lot of information and tips, so thank you for that help. So tell us about what some of the ways that the city of Davis is reducing what goes into the landfill at local events.
It's a good question. You know, that's one of the most challenging places to see a lot of waste reduction and recycling programs is at temporary events, you know, that are just like for one day or one evening. So to make things as easy as possible, the city does have a rental program where we will rent out temporary foldable trash recycled compost bins for $1 each that can be picked up and rented, reserved, picked up and used for events so that it's, you kind of have a mobile station to make it easier to collect waste at events. So that's one thing that we're doing to make it easier. We also have a special events committee that the city will run through. Any large event will come to the special events committee just to make sure there's no traffic impacts on parks or other events. And of course, to take a look at the trash and recycling plan to make sure as much waste is diverted as possible.
Yeah, and the City of Davis Parks Division maintains over 485 acres of parks and green belts throughout the community. And visitors to the 37 neighborhoods and community parks and the extensive system of green belts that weave around the city can find many play and picnic areas, tennis courts, horseshoe pits, disc golf, basketball courts, you name it. And so how are our athletic fields and parks within the City of Davis equipped to better deal with waste diversion?
So they're doing okay. We've got, of course, we have trash bins everywhere. Most trash bins have a recycling bin next to it. That is our policy moving forward, that they always have. Any new bin that we purchase always has a recycling bin next to it. And we're including organics bins as well in any areas that have picnic tables. And we're trying to make certain parks set up to be zero waste as well, so that if you have an event at this park, you know that all of the bins there will be trash recycle compost bins. So we're trying to get parks set up so that when events are there, they have access to all waste diversion streams. It's a work in progress. These bins that are outdoors, they're expensive. So we can only buy so many at a time. We are seeking grants, and we've been some successful in getting some grants for these bins. But it's a slow process to get them all updated.
Yeah, definitely. And Davis has many community events throughout the year, from large ones such as, you know, the 4th of July celebration and picnic day to smaller ones such as picnic in the park at the Davis Farmers Market. So in your experience, what do event attendees in Davis tend to do well with respect to waste diversion?
So when the event is during the day, and you actually have a lot of light to see well, people do better sorting waste. The bins that we rent out, they have pictures of what can and cannot go into each bin. So that makes it easier for folks to sort their waste. So during the day, people do better. When it's at nighttime and it's dark and it's hard to see those signs, people don't do as well sorting out waste. For the city's 4th of July event this year, Recology had all of their bins out, and then they even hand sorted everything after the event to make sure as much material was recycled as possible. And they reported to us that 95% of all the waste that they collected from the 4th of July event was either recycled or composted. So when you're talking about an event and how much waste comes out of an event and how much waste could be recycled or composted, 95%. So that kind of blew our minds. It was the best diversion we've ever seen from any event in town.
And what do event attendees in Davis tend not to do so well at, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, so besides the fact that they might not be able to see the bins, a lot of folks will come from out of town for special events. And in a way, when you're at an event, you're focused on other things, and you're not, you know, when you're at home and you know what you're doing and you've got all your bins there, you kind of know what's going on. When you go elsewhere, you might not know what can be recycled. Maybe things are recycled differently here. You don't know where the bins are. And so you just see a trash bin and you don't know there's a recycling bin nearby. It can get a little confusing for folks.
Yeah. And I entered this season with FC Davis to find ways that to help the club get to zero waste home games. And there were several ideas that came up, such as engaging fans, volunteers, and vendors, and smart ways to place and monitor sorting recyclables at events and communicating and marketing to the public. So in your experience, how do all of these waste diversion steps typically impact an event budget?
So the more you tell people in advance that you're going to be doing waste diversion and there's going to be recycling, the more they can prepare for. But, you know, like anything, doing the right thing is not always the easiest thing, right? So trash service, you know, has a cost. Recycling service may have a cost. Composting may have a cost. So it can take a little bit of extra effort to set up the extra bins, a little more volunteer effort to get the bins out there and serviced. And then, of course, to have the materials, you know, you have to have a place to take them afterwards. Interestingly, state law requires that any business, and they consider a business to be an organization or a nonprofit. So pretty much anybody that has an event in town is technically a business under state law. They have to provide trash recycling and organics bins for their customers, employees, volunteers, contractors. So that would even include attendees at an event. So that's part of what we do when we're looking at special events coming into town, is making sure that they have recycling and organics bins available for folks that attend events.
There are lots of things that come into play in planning and managing athletic events. What do you see as the biggest barriers to sustainability for event planners? And what would you recommend that an event planner does in that situation?
So asking folks to bring a reusable water bottle with them is really huge, because otherwise you're going to have, you know, lots of plastic bottles out there, lots of plastic cups. So as much as possible, getting reuse established as part of the event, that it's expected that everybody bring a reusable water bottle, and identify where they can refill the water bottles at the park. Because, you know, most of our parks have places where you can refill them, either at a water fountain or a special water bottle filling station. So starting there and prepping folks to be thinking about this. And then if you're bringing in food vendors, if you're bringing in, you know, other different sorts of tabling and things happening, make sure that the stuff that they're using is compostable. Remind them that they are not supposed to have styrofoam. We don't allow styrofoam for takeout food and stuff in Davis, and that applies to food trucks as well. So make sure you're communicating with anybody involved in the event to have recycling bins available, have compostable bins available, and use only recyclable or compostable servingware.
Yeah, and my last one for you, is there any specific factor that is critical to success when planning a zero waste event?
So knowing what your waste is going to be is really critical, right? If you're serving pizza and you're going to have really large pizza boxes, you need to be able to have a bin that can hold large pizza boxes. If you're having an event and you know you're not going to be having some waste, you need to make sure that you have that type of waste diversion to collect it. So one of the big things that helps is having pictures of the waste, right? So if you know that you're going to only event stuff you'll have is you'll have some, you know, soda cans, you're going to have paper plates and paper napkins. If that's the only waste that you're going to really have from the types of food that are served by the food vendors that are there, make sure that pictures of those things are on the bin. So people know, okay, here's my paper plate. It goes in this bin that has a picture of a paper plate on there. So as much as possible, simplifying that communication between this is what your waste looks like and this is where your waste goes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining me on Timeout Radio today.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Jennifer Gilbert, who is the conservation coordinator for the city of Davis. My darling with the diamond hands, I'll never understand how you dug up the love, so locked up little part of me. It was surely after autumn when death comes up to breathe. And why can't every death be as pretty as the turning leaves? I think you're And that was Hallucinate by Yoke Lore. In today's travel segment, we visit the country of Germany in Northern Europe, home to 85 million people. Its capital is Berlin and its currency is Euro. Germany was divided into two countries until not too long ago. East Germany was a communist nation and West Germany was a democracy. The fall of communism in Eastern Europe, and symbolically the collapse of the Berlin Wall, led to the reunification of Germany in 1990. Modern-day Germany has the largest economy in Europe with a highly skilled and innovative workforce. The country's north coasts touch the North and Baltic Seas. Its south has the Bavarian Alps. Germany's longest river, the Rhine, runs along its western border. One-third of Germany is covered in forests and woodlands with spruce, pine, beech, and oak trees. The Black Forest, a nature reserve near the Swiss border, has wolves, wildcats, boar, fox, and deer. Much of the country has a temperate climate, with warm summers and cool winters. Daylight saving time originated in Germany. Because of Germany's central location, it's a transportation hub for Europe. Its trains travel at speeds up to 200 miles per hour. Another fast way of getting around in Germany is by road. The country's road network is among the densest in Europe. German highways, known as Autobahn, have no speed limit. German cars like BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, and Volkswagen are known for their reliability and comfort. Hungry after all that traveling? Take a break for a hamburger named after the German city of Hamburg. After 19th century sailors returned from trading in the Baltic region, they brought back some raw shredded beef that they used to make a sandwich called the hamburger. Germany also has over 1,000 varieties of sausage and 300 varieties of bread. After your meal, settle down to watch a soccer game. German football is famous for its game day experience, with vocal fans both on and off the field. The German Football League's 50+1 rule means that clubs are governed by their members and, by extension, their fans. The name of the rule comes from the requirement for club members to hold 50% of voting rights, plus one more vote. So club members, and not investors, have the majority of votes and have the ultimate say in how a soccer club is run. This also helps keep ticket prices affordable. Germany's professional league, the Bundesliga, has the highest attendance of all association football leagues in the world, with an average of 45,000 fans per game. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, Germany. Alright, let's call a timeout for Time Out Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to Kater 95.7 FM, where the grassroots grow. Have a great day, everyone.